as I'm looking and praying about how to present God's work in my life, it really does feel, and it seems like there's themes that God keeps pursuing. And he teaches me something, and then he comes back to it, and he teaches it, and he comes back to it, and he keeps taking those truths deeper. And I bet that's true in your life, that to a large extent, it's not like we learn it once and we got it, and now it's there, and we've got that one figured out, and we can move on. And even if we truly grasp some truth, even if we truly gain something, that the Holy Spirit wants to keep coming back and taking us deeper. And one of those issues I really want to address, and I'll need more space than that, is just the issue of forgiveness. I talked about my dad abandoning us when I was 10 years old, and then later he remarried my mom, and then he did it all over again. And so there was a series of abandonments in my life that really meant a lot, and as I shared last week, that were part of the reason why the enemy could pull me into the occult with the promise of power, the promise that I could be in control of my own destiny, and that I would no longer be subject to other people's choices, which, by the way, is absolute baloney. There is nothing in the occult, there is nothing that Satan can offer that is a source of true security. But that's what drew me into those false teachings. And part of coming out of that, of the occult, was the recognition that God was calling me to forgive my dad. And I know I've done teachings on forgiveness before, but this recognition that he was teaching me this in real life, this was not a Sunday school class for me. That as I forgave my dad, and I went through an extensive process of agreeing with God and choosing to forgive my dad for his sin. And part of what God brought to my attention is you can't just forgive him for what he did. You also have to assess and then take to the cross all the debt for what it did to your life. All the cost to your mom's life. All the cost to your brother's life. All the ripples of effect that spread outward from that abandonment and from the lies and the unfaithfulness. Everything that flowed from that, including damage to several churches, because my dad was a pastor during both of his choices of adultery that affected our family. He had other choices of adultery, but two that affected our family also affected more than two churches. And out of that God was saying, the forgiveness I'm calling you to means that at my son's death, he didn't just pay for what your dad did, he paid for all the damage it did. And I wish I could tell you all the story, because it would take so long, of how God brought me through that process of really having to detail with God my best honest assessment of here's how much damage. And that part of what had frustrated me is I knew I really have forgiven him for the sin. Father, what's still hanging on in my life? Because I don't know if you recall, but that was one of the things that was so majestically accomplished when God rescued me from the occult, was he rescued me from bitterness against my father. But this still had to be dealt with. And that was a long process of dealing with the cost. And in your lives as well, when you recognize someone has sinned against you, that someone has made choices that impacted your life with some level of destruction, some level of loss, some level of damage, maybe not just that you're dealing with at the moment, there might be some layers of loss and damage that you will now deal with for the rest of your life. And that God is saying, that's part of the cost that I'm asking you to bring to the cross, because I'm telling you the truth, my son truly paid for that too. That whoever sinned against you, you can release them from that portion of the debt as well. So I had to go through that process. And by the way, Ephesians 4:32 in capsule form captures that truth, that we're forgiving in Christ as the Father has forgiven us. That God didn't just forgive you for your sin, and he says, but boy, do you still owe me for all the damage. Yeah. He's saying, I've forgiven you for the sin, and I've forgiven you for all the damage your son has done. But then God took me in the years ahead. He also took me into this, that I had to go through an extensive period of grief. One of the most, and I know I've shared some portion of this with you before, but one of the most effective spiritual workshops I ever got to take part in. And it had a variety of agendas that I thought, you know, been there, done that. I don't know what I'm going to get out of this. And yet God ended up turning the agenda of that workshop in a completely different direction for me personally. And for an extended period of time, that God took me through a period of grief where I was also grieving over not having a father. I'd forgiven him, and I was free to grieve over not having the father I needed. And it was a miraculous process. I wish I could tell you the whole story. It was a miraculous process of God showing me literally, here's what you lost, here's what you didn't have, here's what should have been, but you never enjoyed it. And that bit by bit, I was free to come into the Father's presence and pour out my heart in grief over all that loss. And then, out of that grief, to receive the Father as my Father. And this was a hard thing because I already believed in that doctrine. I was already teaching that doctrine. But that God was saying, I really want you to finish grieving deeply over what was lost so you finally turn to me and receive everything I am. And I remember at this workshop, I've told at least some of you this before, the pastor of the church where this workshop was being conducted was standing in. He was just walking by. And the person sort of working with me just grabbed the pastor and pulled him in and said, you stand here and you be God. And I did not plan this. I did not expect this. But after this intense process over weeks of saying goodbye to my father and grieving, the person leaving the workshop said, now when you turn around and you say goodbye to your dad, now you're going to turn around and you're going to say hello to your heavenly father. And I'm serious. At that point, I was thinking, well, this is sort of corny. Okay, bye, Dad. Hello, Father. I thought that's what it was going to be. And instead, when I turned around, this was a work of the Holy Spirit. That poor man who was standing there had this little hairy furball leap through the air, literally, wrap my arms around him. This won't surprise you. I started crying. And all I did was I just told him over and over again, thank you, thank you, thank you. We sang at the end of last week. Stephen had us sing this song, the worship group with us. Oh, no, you never let go. And that was my gratitude at that moment with the Father, was the recognition through, at that point, almost 50 years of life, that God had always been my true father. That when my dad abandoned me, God was truly there. And that there were a whole series of events and memories that God had brought to mind through that grief to say, but when he was gone, here's where I was. And when he wasn't there, here's how I was there. And when he forgot you, here's how I remembered you. And when you couldn't count on him, here's how you were absolutely able to count on me. And that gratitude poured out. And again, this poor pastor had no clue what he was going to be inundated with just by getting pulled into that room at that moment. And that has continued to grow. That has continued to be an ongoing process in my life, is the recognition that when Jesus died for me, and he's the mediator. Paul to Timothy says that there is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. Excuse me. Well, that's convenient. That mediator mediated me into a father-son relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, father-son relationship with the Father, his Father. And that when I was raised up, and when you were raised up, putting your faith in Jesus Christ and seated in Christ, you were seated in Jesus' spot. And he really wants us to get that, and he really wants us to comprehend it, and he really wants us to take advantage of it, that you and I are now seated in Jesus' spot beside the Father. So I know he's not finished teaching me about this. That fatherhood that flowed from this process of forgiveness, I know is going to be till the day I die. I'm going to have to keep learning about the depths of what that means, that he's still going to be a faithful father more than I comprehend. Now, there was I believe, another theme that I keep seeing throughout my life over and over and over again, and it is like God keeps saying, deeper and more, I want you to get this. But the recognition that everything I face, is exactly what the Father is prepared for. Everything I face, minute by minute, the big things, the little things, that this fatherhood and the nature of this father, in a way that a human dad never could, as much as I love Erin, my daughter, I can't be prepared for everything in her life. I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the wisdom, I don't have the strength, I don't have the reach to be prepared. And even if I knew what was coming, I don't have the power or the reach or the strength to be prepared. Only this father can say, not only do I know what's coming, I have the reach and the strength and the power to be fully prepared. And there had been multitudes of experiences before that and multitudes afterwards, but one of the most profound moments where God taught me this was where my car broke down on the way to a very high demand client, getting ready to do counseling with him. And I've told the story at least once before. But as I was walking along the highway with no cell phone and with no business in sight, grumbling at God for the fact that now this client was going to have a rough day because he had made it real clear he would not put up with lateness or absence, and that all the other clients of the afternoon, all the other folks I was going to work with would have no clue why I wasn't there, and that God was screwing up, basically. I didn't use that word, but I was upset with God that he had dropped the ball. And it wasn't because I didn't mind having my car broke down. That was okay. Father, another time on a Saturday, you can have my car break down. If you would have checked with me first, is what it boiled down to, I could have given you a better arrangement for this. And one of the few times God spoke so clearly in saying, but this is exactly what I was prepared for. And if that man trusts me, I'm prepared for him. If all the other people in your afternoon turn to me, I'm prepared for them. None of my sons or daughters will not have what they need for today if they turn to me. And then Carrie and I have, and in all our financial challenges of life that all of you share, that over and over again, when we hit a point of need, excuse me, that was not being overwhelmed with emotion, that was just a tickle in my throat. One of the few times it was just a tickle in my throat. But that recognition that over and over again, when we're sitting there and looking at the numbers and the numbers aren't adding up and we're looking ahead and we can't see what's around the corner that's going to meet this need. And over and over and over again, we keep finding out, wait a minute, he's our Father. He's not a loan officer. And on a good day, he'll write us a little bit, and on a bad day, he won't. And also because he's a father, he's in charge of how he comes through. Because it's not the same. Many of you experience this. It's not the same every time. Sometimes it literally is the exact amount of money we thought we needed is right there down to the penny, just so we'll know who provided it. But then there's other times when it's not there. It's literally not there. And we predicted a bad outcome. Father, if this isn't here by the first, bad outcome. And the father says, you know what? The first, I'm looking at my calendar and I'm not bringing it to you on the first. But here's what I do promise. I promise good purpose. That's what I promise. I promise good purpose. So if it's not there on the first, you will see me accomplish a good purpose in you as you trust me. Now, one of the things that I think is too easy in our Western culture is that we interpret good purpose as a happy outcome. Well, Father, our mortgage isn't paid. Well, I'm obligated to make sure you keep that nice house. So even if I do it on the first, I'll do it sometime before it's too late. That's not the promise. That is not the promise. You and I could lose a house. You and I can lose a job. You and I can lose a car. You and I can lose some portion of our reputation. You and I can lose some position of trust. You and I can lose things. And God's saying, but my good purpose for you is intact. I am a true father. I have not allowed any real treasures to be destroyed. And he just seems to keep doing that over and over and over again. I would say that in some ways, I have to keep learning this lesson every month. That bit by bit, God keeps saying, remember? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Now, what I really hope is true is that now my oh, yeahs come quicker. That God doesn't have to put up with my flimsy arguments quite as long before I go, oh, yeah, you really are my Father. And I would encourage you to examine that in your own heart, that you're deciding, Father, I want to get to the oh, yeah moment quicker, where I remember not that you promised to make everything good, but that you absolutely promised to be my faithful Father, and you will accomplish good purpose. Even through tragedy, you will accomplish good purpose. That's why we're going to stop now. And pray. And then look forward to next time. Father God, I thank you that you really are my Father, and that everybody in this room who's put their faith in you, we can look back on our lives. We can look back on events and situations. Father, we can look back even to some tragedy, some moments that still have grief for us. We can look back, Father, to moments that still have pain and a lot of uncertainties to them. And we might even be in one of those moments right now. Father, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there are sons and daughters of yours that are in this room, that are in that moment of uncertainty and pain and anguish right now. And I thank you that, like me, they have a faithful Father. And I thank you that we can depend on that, Father, that we never have to doubt this certainty. You absolutely are prepared with what we need to accomplish your good purposes. And Father, I can't tell enough story to make you look as large as you've been in my life as a father. I would have to recreate the whole thing, Father, and you understand that. You have been faithful to me. You have proven yourself. You've taken your word and opened it up where it made it clear that your word was always truer than I'd understood before. And Father, I thank you that you're going to keep doing that, that in my life, in each of our lives, you're going to keep showing us how your word is even truer than we understand it to be today. Father, there might be areas where we want to explain it away for you and give you an out, and you don't want an out. You want us to test you and find out that you're good. You want us to test you with faith and find out that you will come through for us. You want us to test you with prayers of absolute dependence, where we start praising you and thanking you ahead of time, because it is truly certain that you will prove to be our Father. And Father, I thank you that you have forgiven us, that every one of us as sons and daughters of God get to receive your forgiveness. We get to celebrate your forgiveness. And we get to go deeper in understanding that this forgiveness now gives us a solid place to stand while we forgive others. And that as you forgave us in Jesus Christ, or you forgave everything of our sin, both the doing of it and the damage it produced, that we're free to do the same thing. And Father, as you grieve over our sin, now that we're free to grieve over sin, and then we're free to turn around and embrace everything that you will accomplish, everything that you will repay, everything that you will recompense, everything you will build in place of the things destroyed. That as sons and daughters, we get to come and remember that you're a Father who builds. And that everything that sin is destroyed, if we need it, you're prepared to rebuild it. Thank you for your faithfulness, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.